Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Patriot Family Chat. Linda's here, and Bill will be calling in soon. I hope you guys can hear me. Go ahead and type in if you can. My headset should be working, if Bill could hear the music. So I guess Tom Golden was having a little trouble signing in, so we'll see what happens there. So much going on, I can't even imagine where to start. We do live in an upside-down Alice in Wonderland world, and I had the misfortune. Oh, we got Bill here coming in. We'll pick him up. Hey, Bill, how's it going?
It's going great, Linda. How are you guys?
Oh, my gosh. I took my mom to the dentist. She's complaining about her sciatic because my mom's approaching 90 and her poor back, you know. So it pinches the nerves, and she's got ice on it now, so... I'm trying to encourage her to get to the doctor and see if they can give her some stronger pain stuff rather than Advil and possibly some therapeutic massage or something, you know, for the leg. But I know what that does. It's when the discs get old and then that pinches the nerves and it goes down the sciatic to the one side. So fortunately, I didn't have that problem when I had my miserable degenerated discs and got operated on, so that was a good thing. So anyway, and I know you're preparing, I'm preparing. If you would like to tell everyone what you guys are up to, how you're getting yourselves ready for the meltdown.
Well, you know, I've been doing the same thing all along, stocking up on food, stocking up on ammunition,
yep,
and things like that, and doing things outside the box and working on ideologies with other guys, developing new things of our own, to help us survive and things.
Right.
If it comes to that. So we always stay pretty busy doing that, but we're also busy out here trying to, you know, get the word out and reach out to people who don't have. You might have seen a thing I wrote this morning about local news and stuff. And
oh, yeah.
When people don't have anything other than their local news, and their local news doesn't tell the truth.
No, they don't.
And hides significant factual data from
right.
the public.
Oh, yeah.
The public has a right to know. Well, then, I got to wonder, what are we going to do? Say we do get Obama out of office. Well, how are we going to deal with this media and the corruption amongst the media?
Well, we're going to have to get the heavy lifting out, and we're not only going to have to scream at Congress and scream at Romney if Romney's elected, we're going to have to start writing letters, I guess, and emails to every major news outlet and tell them how we feel. I mean, I don't know what else to do with them.
That's what you got to do. And if you got a friend and they got a local newspaper, like around where I live, it's the Seymour Daily Tribune, if you got friends and they're fighting something like that, jump in and help them on those websites. Contact their papers and tell them how you as a citizen take offense to it, too, how they do.
Sure.
And it's a numbers game. It always has been. It always
yes.
will be. That's,
I agree.
Unfortunately, the law of physics will tell you everything has to do with numbers.
It's true.
Everything.
I mean, you know, this is what's been going on. I know Glenn's been talking about this for the last 4 days. He says, you guys have got to get the word out because this media will not do it. They're just part of the problem. I call them traitors completely. They're in on it. They're horrible. They're Lenin's useful idiots at this point. It's just awful, the propaganda and the garbage. I mean, they just keep propagating the same lies over and over again, and it's pretty disgusting. I have a friend.
And,
go ahead.
And we're catching on to the whole thing about it.
Yep.
You know, if you go back and look, I wrote about Hillary Clinton and the small arms deal and the free speech deal.
Yep.
Over almost 2 years ago, at least over a year and a half ago.
Sure.
I wrote about it then that she was working to do these things, and nobody was paying attention. Hillary Clinton was working with the UN to destroy the United States First and Second Amendments, and there
right.
was two or three other amendments she was going after.
Oh, that's what, well, yeah, they've already, with the TSA and the rest of it, that's what they've already done. I mean, they've got the Fourth Amendment down pat. They've shredded that one. You know, and this latest nonsense with that stupid 14-second or 14-minute video, which is a big hoax anyway, it was just utilized by the propagandists, the Pravda writers of our day, to try to, you know, squash free speech about Islamists in this country. And you know that that's what they're doing. And then we've got the non-news. I mean, I've got so much stuff right here
there,
in front of me.
There
I
can't you go. Even... The non-news.
Yeah. Oh,
go,
and then,
yeah, go
then,
ahead.
Then what they do.
I think you're headed where I was going to go, so go ahead.
Okay. These guys have – the only one I know talking about this right now for the past 3 days is Glenn Beck. I got to hand it to him because his research team and his experts like General Boykin and a whole panel of others just recently said this is about the blind shake. I've got a whole thing I'd like to read in a second on that. The one I'm going to do tomorrow is on what September 13th, what the Federal Reserve did with Bernanke and the QE3. I had a call from my girlfriend she's a liberal and she's on the fence. She's upset with Obama. She doesn't want to vote for him. She doesn't get real news. And she says, where do you get your news from? And I said, I don't get it from the box in the living room. And I said, I get it from the AM radio. I get it from the internet. There's tons of stuff on the internet. Dear God, there's more newspapers that are telling the truth than you could shake a stick at. I told her they had one small blurb in the Union Tribune, which she also can get because she lives down in San Diego. That a small blurb about the QE3. And my mom says, what is it? I printed this thing out, which I'll read tomorrow, talking about the whole darn thing. And I'm going to hand this piece of paper to her on Friday. I'm also going to hand her this one I did on the blind shake today. I got from the National Review. It was written by Andrew McCarthy.
Now you got where I was headed a while ago. I believe a lot of this stuff over this whole Islamist stuff is really about this blind sheik.
Oh, of course. That's not that doesn't even cover it. I think I have Robert on the line. Welcome, Robert.
Hey, Miss Linda, how you doing?
We're hanging
How you doing, Robert?
We're ranting.
I'm hanging in there. I know you are. I am too.
Okay. So here's the deal. The guy, what was his name? Stephen something that got killed, ambassador supposedly to Benghazi, or he
the
was
gate,
flying. You know who I'm, the poor
Lawson,
guy, the blonde.
Something.
Yeah, the blonde dude, and there were supposedly two Marines. No, weren't two Marines. Come to find out, they were Navy SEALs, and these guys were telling informants and some news media that they were going after these weapons that were supposed to be, you know, brought back into the fold of the U.S. that had been given out to these MBs and the extremists, and they were trying to make sure that, you know, all this stuff, it's like a cover-up is what it is. I think that poor ambassador was set up. You don't fly into Benghazi. I mean, that would be like me walking down in Compton in L.A. at midnight as a little white woman with $10 bills hanging out of my pockets. You know what I'm saying? This is terrible. This is craziness. And he's got this unarmored car. Nobody's reporting this stuff. They had a safe house, which really wasn't a safe house. It was a rented house you know, old and there was like bars on the windows. Hell, I got bars on the windows at the Smoke Depot after they closed. Are you kidding me? There was nothing. This guy was just left out to hang out to dry. I mean, and do you think the news media is going to report this? This is what we're about, Bill. We have, and I'm telling you, I'm telling everybody about QE3. I'm telling them to stock up. I'm telling them what I'm doing. People that I trust and people who get it. And this whole thing with the blind sheep, I'm going to tell everybody I can. Everybody.
Well, I'll tell you this. If they're not awake now, come next spring, they'll all be awake when they look at the price of food.
Okay, I got another call.
They think the gas prices being up as high as they are upset them. Wait till they see how high the food prices climb.
812-530, you're on the air. Go. Hello?
Hello?
That's the guy, he's just listening.
Oh, okay.
You know what Bill just said? What was it? It was about a week ago in New Jersey. The small franchises, the gas stations, the independent ones, Bill, in New Jersey, they raised the gas rate, and I don't know if you saw it or not, but they raised the gas rate to $8.99 in New Jersey,
Robert,
the independents. Did you know that?
And here's what the public doesn't get. Who makes the most money off a gallon of gas, Robert?
Who do you think the corporate loopholes, that's what they were fighting against.
You'd be wrong. It would be the federal government.
And the state of California, because we in California, I
federal
have
and state taxes make up the vast majority of the price of gas.
Every
what
gallon
the oil company gets is not even close.
Not even close. I pay 46 cents per gallon in California to the state of California every time I purchase 1 gallon of gas. Isn't that special? I pay 18 cents to the Fed. So, I mean, it's over double to my state.
It's the same on the alcohol and the cigarette taxes, Robert.
Yeah. Oh.
The vast majority of the cost is the federal and state taxes.
Okay, we lost Robert, but he'll call back. So, but I got you, so that's good. I don't know who the other caller was. It was the 812 area code, but it was a lady, and she said hello, and then she dropped. So I don't know what happened. But anyway,
it should have been a guy because he's sitting here in my living room.
Oh, okay. It sounded like, I don't know, it happened.
He was trying to listen, and when you said hello, he scared him.
Oh, no. Well, let him call back, and I'll just let him hear the show. But this is what I got. I want you guys to hear this. This was from the National Review, Andrew C. McCarthy. It said, the New York Times has a report this morning, and this was done back in June, about the pledge by Egypt's newly elected president, Mohamed Morsi, of the Muslim Brotherhood, to work for the release from U.S. prison and repatriation to Egypt of Omar Abdel Rahman, that's the blind sheikh, better known to Americans as the blind sheikh. The report can be read here. Well, it was an underlined link. Because I was lead prosecutor at the blind sheikh's 1995 terrorism trial, the Times asked me for information about the case and to make a statement about Mr. Morsi's vow to seek the blind sheikh's release. Here is some background information, much of which I provided to the Times yesterday, have provided to the Times in various interviews over the years, and have written about extensively. Okay, whoever's on, they can listen. I won't say hello. Okay. Yesterday, in various interviews, have written about extensively, particular at National Review in my book about the case. This blind sheikh is serving a life sentence for terrorism convictions arising out of his formation of a terror cell that operated in the New York metropolitan area from the late 80s through spring of 1993. Okay, now we got Robert back on. Hi, Robert.
I'm sorry
you dropped off.
I had to get that phone call. Sorry.
Okay. It was in addition responsible. Oh, here it goes. That cell bombed the World Trade Center February 26, 93. It was in addition responsible for the murder of JDL founder Meir Kahane in 1990 plots to kill then Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak back then, and a plot to conduct simultaneous bombings of New York City landmarks, primarily the Lincoln and Holland tunnels and the United Nations complex. Well, wish that I got that one. With additional targets such as the FBI's Lower Manhattan headquarters, the George Washington Bridge, and U.S. armories also contemplated. This blind sheikh, moreover, urged his followers to bomb American military installations, citing as the example most worth emulating Hezbollah's 83 bombing of the U.S. barracks in Lebanon, in which 241 members of our armed forces were killed. That included 220 Marines, 18 Navy, and 3 Army. Blind Sheikh rooted his terrorist commands in Islamic scripture and jurisprudence, subjects on which he is an internationally renowned authority. That indeed is the sole source of his influence, which is profound over the global jihadist movement. His blindness and various other ailments render him unable to perform physical acts that would be of any use to a terrorist organization. But since he was blind since childhood, this blind sheikh is a prodigy who memorized the Quran in his early youth, must have used Braille. He eventually graduated from Al-Azhar University in Cairo, Egypt, the seat of the Sunni Islamic learning, with a doctorate in Islamic jurisprudence. Following the trial at which he and several of his fellow jihadists were convicted, the blind sheikh issued a fatwa calling on Muslims to kill Americans, civilian and military, wherever they could be found, and to conduct terrorist attacks against our military assets, embassies, and civilian infrastructure. Following the 9/11 attacks, Osama bin Laden publicly credited this fatwa as the Sharia justification required under jihadist protocols to carry out the operation. So they're all in bed with each other, these clowns. The blind sheikh has for decades been the emir, or leader, of Gamma at al-Islamiyah, the Islamic group, the Egyptian terrorist organization that carried out the 1981 murder of President Anwar Sadat after Sadat made peace with Israel. Boy, you can tell they hate Israel. Blind sheikh brags about having issued that fatwa for that murder, although he was acquitted at his trial. Blind Sheikh used a nullification defense, arguing that because Sadat failed to rule by Sharia, devout Muslims had a duty to remove him. Lovely. In 97, following the Blind Sheikh's U.S. terrorism convictions, the Islamic group carried out a brutal massacre in Luxor, Egypt, in which 62 tourists and police were killed. The jihadists left behind leaflets promising there would be more such attacks if the Blind Sheikh were not released. And there have been. Indeed, several others, though none as atrocious. In 1998, this Islamic group signed on to the declaration of war against the United States issued by Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda. The Islamic group is formally designated as a foreign terrorist organization under federal law, meaning it is a felony to provide it with material support. In 2005, the Justice Department convicted the blind sheikh's attorney, Lynn Stewart, of material support for passing instructions from her client to the Islamic group. Nevertheless, as detailed in this link, a few days back, the Obama administration issued a visa to Hani Nur Eldin, a member of the Islamic group, and then hosted him for talks in Washington. Yeah, this is all this MB hanging out with, you know, Schmuckface. Eldin accompanied a contingent of other members of Egypt's new Islamist government, which is led by the Muslim Brotherhood and in which the Islamic group is a coalition partner. Topping Eldin's agenda reportedly was to petition the administration, the current one, to release the blind sheikh. The Obama administration has since stonewalled when pressed by members of Congress and the media to explain why and how it came to issue a visa and play host to a member of a designated terrorist organization, given that providing assistance to such organizations is a serious federal crime, but nobody does anything about it. In the interview yesterday, I provided the Times with a number of these details. I was also asked to give a statement, though I was not promised that my statement would appear in the paper's report. It did not appear in the report, but here is what I told the reporter. This is the last paragraph. The Obama administration recently issued a visa to and hosted in Washington a member of the Blind Sheikh's Islamic group. This was done despite the IG's, Islamic group's, formal designation as a foreign terrorist organization to which it is a federal crime to provide material support. And despite the fact that the IG signed Al-Qaeda's 98 Declaration of War against the United States, with President Obama sending these signals, it is no surprise that Egypt's new Islamic president-elect would seek to capitalize on them. I mean, I don't know what more you guys need. It's insane. And then I'm phone banking today for an hour, and this clown, you know, because I've got bumper stickers on my car, and he didn't know whose car it was. So he comes in for a sign for Jim Wood, right, for the mayor. He didn't like my anti-Obama sticker, which has Ugly's face on it in his little circle, and it says, "Does this ass make my car look fat?" Well, I thought it was funny, and I can't stand it, so I put it there. And so he starts going off, and the lady at the desk goes, "Well, that's not Jim Wood's car," because this guy was ranting and saying, "I don't know where you guys stand." Hi, Mr. Magic, and welcome, Rod, as well. And I know we lost your buddy's call, Bill. I don't know who's one of your kids or somebody, but
it's a friend of mine. He's new to this stuff.
Okay.
He's getting...
So here's this guy, and I was so upset because I thought, how does I actually got into an argument with this guy, and I said, because she said it's not okay. We got the caller back from your living room. Anyway, you know, she says, the lady says, it's not Jim Wood's car. And I said, looked at him, and I said, it's my car. And I says, by the way, I says, those bumper stickers is my free speech rights in the Constitution, in case you haven't read it, under the First Amendment. And, you know, I don't know. He went on about stuff. And I said, you know what? I said, go back to your cave, because I can't deal with you. And he says, well, I'll go back to my cave. And I said, yeah. Or he says, what if I want to get out of my – or he says, maybe I don't want to – I says, you're already in it. Don't worry. I was like, I can't sit still anymore with these people. Anybody that's going to vote for this clown after knowing any of this – the problem is they don't know most of it. They don't know.
No, that's the problem.
They don't know.
It's misinformation, the lack of putting out the information. And that's where the media has failed and been complicit in covering for Obama.
It's like I need a bullhorn and signs saying, for the love of God, read something. You know, I get so frustrated. I just, hey, FT, welcome everybody. We're just ranting. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, you know, it's all about this Muslims not being able to insult Islam.
Well, here's
until Islam quits insulting Christianity, they can just keep their mouths shut.
They can pound it. The other thing, you know, I mean, Glenn talked about this with his panel quite some time ago. He did a documentary. There was several people, including General Boykin, talking about this White House inviting these people, which is in this article. Now I'm seeing that it's actually in print, to the White House. Well, Valerie Jarrett is an Iranian-born woman who has his ear. He doesn't make a move without her. Do you think the public knows this? Oh, hell no. And
I don't.
How
can we be surprised that he would use our money to fund our enemies?
Oh, yeah.
And he uses our money to attack us.
Oh, yeah. He does it every day. And Valerie Jarrett also was also on a video that Glenn got a hold of when he was back on Fox. And Valerie's saying, oh, this is what back when she first met Van Jones
she was very endorsive of Van Jones.
Oh, yeah. She says, oh, we've been watching him since the, you know, the Oakland days. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'll bet you have. And he's a self-avowed communist, never has not said that he wasn't. So, I mean, it's just, if you cannot see the absolute tyranny and traitor stuff that's going on in this, and I am very upset with Congress. There's only a handful of them fighting, but the 95% of them also need to be in orange jumpsuits. I swear.
Ben Jones is an antagonist. That's what he does. He is an antagonist.
True.
And that's what they're using for. I've already heard Pelosi talk about his future, bright future with the Democratic Party. Well, that'll do you a lot of good for people like that, because eventually you're not going to be able to keep everybody blind to what you've done or are doing.
Well, people are waking up, but not enough. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. I am telling everybody, and even those who don't want to listen, at least I have done my part. I'm not going to be someone who's not going to be a citizen journalist. I don't care how I reach them, whether I have to do it face-to-face or what. I'm just going to say, look, get even 30 days worth of cash, 30 days worth of food. I tell them, Bill, I tell them what's coming, and none of them understand it. They don't believe it. It's very frustrating.
They don't believe it because they're drinking the Kool-Aid from the mainstream media, the liberal media, and it's such an overwhelming thing. Like I said, there are areas that there ain't nothing but liberal media.
Right, and especially here in California, we're just saturated with it. Naturally, I have my groups, and I get flooded with 50 emails in the morning when I look at my computer trying to drink my coffee, and I've got everything from Facebook. I've got everything from Tea Party Nation. I've got it from every source out there. Sometimes Ron sends stuff. Sometimes you send stuff. I mean, everybody sends me. I'm flooded with the information. Some of it's junk. Some of it's conspiracy theory. Some of it's real. But the Blaze is good. The Drudge Report, Breitbart. I mean, it goes on forever. There's so much out there. There's no reason not to know what's going on. So.
Well, I would tell anybody, if I post something or send something to you, check it out. Look for other sources to back it up and verify it. Let's make sure we're putting out the right information.
Absolutely. We have to. You know, it's these people, like Glenn was saying, he says, you people don't understand. And he says also the ones who aren't getting it will never get it. If they think that 1930s depression was hellish, they have seen nothing yet. This is a total collapse, unlike anything this country has ever faced, ever.
Well, he's telling you the truth.
And here's the other side of that coin is these people. You know, I make jokes about going out and buying wheelbarrows because you're going to need that if you have cash to take to buy a loaf of bread. Nobody's read about Germany in the 20s because they don't read anything. I tell you, I want to take a gun to my head. I am so tired of people not knowing anything. I can't take it anymore. I don't understand it. Here I'm trying to read Hayek and von Mises and history, and I'm trying to educate myself, and I'm talking to people. And it's like I could probably make more sense to a Martian. I get the deer in the headlights. I don't know what to do.
it's because there is so much, and to try to cram so much into a short speech to somebody is almost impossible.
It is.
So what you've got to do is you've got to look for basic ways that people talk and put it in references they understand. Someone once asked me, said, put Agenda 21 in the simplest words you can put it.
I've tried.
The global elite's going to enslave and screw us all.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
There it was in a sentence, you know. There's a whole lot more to it than that, but that's the basis of it right there.
You're right, Bill. You know why you're right?
Why?
Because two days ago, my neurologist in my hometown said, quote, I asked him what the condition that I had, right, when he hired me. If there was a title in his office that I could hold when he hired me with this condition that I have, he says, well, basically, with the condition that you do have, you're basically screwed, number one, and you're not useful, number two.
Well,
so how would you feel when you would walk out of the office like that? How would you feel being I'm almost 57 in a couple of weeks?
Well, here's the thing. The thing is, Robert, because of our economic planners out there, like the Fed, which has been around since 1913. So, what's that? 100 years. It's, there's no There's no reason for this. There's no reason there shouldn't be 3% unemployment and a free market and real capitalism in this country, except for the global elitists and the banksters and the evil ones and the Hitleries and the Valerie Jarretts and the Cass Sunsteins and the EPA and the UN and Barack Obama and the rest of them. There's no excuse for this.
Well, there isn't. What do you propose to a person who's in their 50s and 60s, like some of us are in this chat room? What do we do for the rest of our lives?
Pray a lot. Now, well, you can try to start your own business.
We look out for the younger generation. We look out for the children, great nephews, and things like that. We look out for them. We look out for those who can't fight for themselves. That's what we do.
That's what, because we're Americans.
That's it, because we're Americans, and that's what we do.
It's just like, so my question is, you try to better yourself, you try to do everything right, and every time you do those two things, you try to better yourself and you try to do everything right, you do the right thing every single day, and every single day when you try to do the right thing and better yourself, you just basically, you know what on.
Well, because
maybe you're looking at it wrong, Robert.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not looking at it the right way. Maybe
I
every
try,
time
Bill.
Something, now listen to me, maybe every time something is thrown in front of you, is Satan doing that because you are doing the right things, you are doing the right, and the more you do right, the more he's going to try to stop you. It's when he quits messing with you, he quits trying to stop you from doing things you need to worry. That's when he's got you.
I know exactly. Well, you know, I thought to myself, I need to go to him. I need to just stay with my family practitioner and not go back to these specialists because, you know what? They don't know the answer to that. They don't know the answers to people with quote, who have these problems. They don't know the answer.
It's hard for anyone to tell someone else about a problem that they've never had, that they've never had to deal with, so they don't know anything about it except what they've read in a book.
They can't determine whether seizure disorder are really true violent headaches. That's pretty sad. But they're treating it like seizure disorders. That's my case in chief, Bill. And
but
you know,
if we don't stop what's going on, Robert, you won't be able to get any help because of your age.
Yeah,
oh, and it's only going to get worse too for seniors. It's going to it already is bad right now because of Medicare, Medicaid, and Medi-Cal, which I think are just evil.
I won't see Medicare or Medicaid lifted. You know that. You know I won't see it.
That's true.
See it at all.
It's going to Social
be,
Security.
I'll tell you.
Even if we don't have a meltdown, in 15 years, Social Security and Medicare are going to be broke anyway. But I predict by mid or fall of 2013, this collapse is headed our way. And everybody from Social Security to welfare to WIC to food stamps to whatever their government dole is, nobody's getting a check. I'll guarantee you that. Nobody's getting a check.
You can't keep running on empty and borrowing.
No.
Eventually it crashes. And the collapse is coming on financial markets. It's coming. The collapse is coming on the food markets. The collapse is coming on many other areas. It's all intentional. Linda talks about Agenda 21. Well, every bit of this is a particle of that.
Well, yeah, and this guy that was emailing my friend Chris Meinson, who's on the A21 task force, and she kept going back and forth with him, and finally I wrote to him and I said, Mike, I said, did it ever occur to you that these people are lying to you? I said the ultimate goal is to take away all of your freedoms. Why would you want to have everybody out of their cars and not have a choice? I said, I think you need to look up the people, Maurice Strong and Alexander King, and look up their quotes and see what they have in mind for you. And I said, by the way, Maurice Strong, because he was complaining to me about the oil companies because he's listening to the Kool-Aid, you know, vendors. And I said, by the way, Maurice Strong made his billions in the oil companies. and then I sent it. So haven't got anything back from him yet. I suppose I won't. The guy is just has been completely indoctrinated, and I mean huge.
And all of this talk that they put out there, though, every time they always leave out the big multi-wealthy Democrat donors. They're never mentioned. Why is that?
You mean like Jeffrey Immelt and Warren Buffett?
Bill Gates, George Soros. I mean, why aren't these guys ever mentioned? If you mention them, because I guarantee you Soros is putting more money into the Democratic Party than the Koch brothers ever put into the Republican Party.
I know. And mentioning Soros, Glenn was talking about, they just found out that Soros is working hand-in-hand with the DOJ to help get this blind shake released. Isn't that special? George Soros is pouring money into everything he can. Unbelievable what's going on. And do you think anyone other than Glenn or myself or you is going to talk about this? Oh, no.
I wouldn't be surprised if Alan West is, because Soros is pouring big money in trying to defeat Alan West.
Yeah, Alan has been pretty vocal lately, and I love him for it. I hope that he keeps talking. And also I heard that they're making deals right now to release this blind shake to Morsi.
When they do that, they are making the United States look weak.
Not only that, it's not going to be done until the lame duck session. And once, if we get, it doesn't matter which way this goes. Actually, it does. If Romney gets in, that might give us some breathing room for 5 minutes. But if Romney gets in, that SOB will do more damage in those 2.5 months than you can shake a stick at, because he's that evil.
Well, and the Democratic Party is that evil.
Out
of Pelosi and Reid last time in 2010.
Showed his true color today. Romney showed his true. He showed his true colors today.
What did he do?
He said, quote unquote, he wasn't worried about the 47% who was entitled to the.
No, because he knows that they won't listen to him about tax cuts. They don't pay taxes.
All he did was say the truth. I love how they're trying to spin this and everything, but the fact is the man spoke the truth.
Actually, I was pretty proud of him for saying
that.
Every poll I've seen, it's been over 70% supports him on what he said. That should scare the left.
You know what else? I wish that Alan West would start writing his speeches. That's what I wish. Oh, man. I'm serious. If Alan West could help him write those speeches, man, that would be a win-win situation.
Wow.
To get tough on this POTUS.
He said the truth today. I mean, you know, when you look at the polls, it's like, if I can remember correctly, the poll said...
I don't believe the polls.
Well, I don't believe the polls either, but it said... they gave it the total... Who favors the total statistical population?
Right.
How Obama handled Libya, and they 49% approved and 29% disapproved. And then when they break it down, you know, the independent voters like you, like Bill and I mean, I'm a registered Republican, but I'm still independent. No matter, you know, I still weigh the evidence of who's going to be the best president. But you know, no one's not going to be the best president because they're the same. It's the same time, it's a different channel and different program.
The idea is to slow down the movement enough.
Right.
Get other people in places in the Senate and the Congress and state legislatures ground up. Then in 2016, hopefully we get Alan West or someone like that.
Well,
he'll have to run on an independent ticket because the GOP establishment will work against him.
I also heard on Glenn's show that there was murmurings in the lamestream media that the Republican Party or if Mitt loses or he wins whatever because of all his statements that'll be the end of the GOP, and Glenn says, good, can I celebrate now?
There's
never going to be 100% one party, and if the Democrats think that, the only way they can have that is with their world order and their agenda 21 enslavement of us all.
Well, let's say that Romney wins. I don't see anybody short of Jesus stopping this meltdown.
There's no stopping the meltdown.
It's
can you bounce back from the meltdown afterwards?
Well,
and that's where I think I would rather put my money values and stuff in the hands of Romney than Obama.
Absolutely. The only thing that I'm concerned about is there's so much. Hi, Ron. Welcome to the show. He finally logged in. The meltdown. Like I say, I'm worried about Romney's stance on the NDAA and the Patriot Act, and because when this civil unrest, these guys already have everything in place. You know, I don't know if he's got the intestinal fortitude to do anything about it. I don't know.
I don't know if any of these candidates that I've seen do. From the beginning, I don't know if any of them have that kind of intestinal fortitude. I haven't seen any input in those kinds of situations. But I know what recently happened here was no overnight, just spontaneous act.
That's for sure.
Coming from a military background, I can tell you it took some planning to do what was done and to find out all the information and stuff. There had to be some collaboration from somewhere.
Oh, yeah, this was planned, and even the people in the Middle East were saying that this was planned, that this couldn't have happened like that. And
you got that Susan Rice out there trying to say the opposite.
I know, and it had nothing to do with the video. They're playing this Pravda game. They're lying through their teeth, and you know it. Well, we do. A lot of people don't, of course.
Then you look today, Egypt comes up, and they issue warrants or whatever for the filmmaker, the Dr. Jones, the minister in Florida, and other people. To me, they're just playing along with the administration.
Right.
They want that money.
Giving
Egypt money and military weapons, we're financing the war against Israel.
Exactly. Doc was saying that because of the comments, the left will murder Romney with the comment-wise, you know, with his statements about the 47% or whatever. You know, I'm looking at it this way. You know, whatever Romney says, I hope he gets stronger against this administration and gets more clarity, because that'll be swept under the rug, or it'll go by the wayside. I to this day and at this hour, I cannot believe that anybody could even think of supporting someone like Obama, who, as you know, as I read about the blind sheikh. I mean, my God. And then they're bringing in these people. And like I said, Glenn had talked about it about a month ago, and he had all his experts on there talking about this. I'm like, oh my God.
You know what this campaign?
You host a Ramadan dinner and celebration or whatever, 2 days after the murder at the.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah.
That just blows my mind.
Well.
And as far as the Romney comment deal, I've seen the CNBC poll, and it was 75% agreed with Romney.
Right.
75% agreed with him.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know, they're saying there's some people out there who want a job, want to work their way up, but with the situations we have now with our current administration and all the regulations and this and that, they can't.
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre.
Bill, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
So you know what this election reminds me of? It reminds me when Nixon ran against Kennedy the first time, right? And he comes back and what year was it? 19 he loses to Kennedy and then he comes back and he wins the election. It's the same thing. It's just I think it's going to happen. I believe it might happen against Romney the same way. Mike, that's what this election reminds me of.
I have no idea what's going to happen out of all this. We're the closer we get, the worse it's going to get. The more dirty, low down tactics and tricks we'll see. We'll see the side that's doing all of it call on the other side. It's just they're in attack mode. They can't stand on the issues, so they go on to the attack mode. All they got to do when they get up in a debate is divert the attack to the issues.
True.
Can you hear us, Ron?
I can.
Okay. You can jump in.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt while Bill was talking. I know what everybody is thinking or what's going through everyone's mind with the comments that Romney made. And the bad part of that is that as much as I don't like the left, they understand what Romney was talking about, or what we presume he was talking about, which is income taxes.
Right.
And of course, they're going to split hairs and say, actually, those people pay a lot of taxes. And that's true, they do. And I was reading an article before I got online here from HuffPo, of course, that points out that actually a very large percentage of Americans, and especially even the poorest Americans, pay a whole lot of taxes when you factor in embedded taxes,
sure,
sales taxes, and I thought it was funny they put in property taxes.
Crap, why are they taxed?
Well, in order to include your automobile, like in the state of Georgia, ad valorem tax, that is a property tax. So, yeah. So they can strain a gnat to make the point that what Romney said is inaccurate. And the article went on to say that 46%, not 47, according to the Institute for Tax Fairness, 46% of working Americans paid no income tax. Then they go on to point out, of course, that those people still paid payroll taxes. And I think it's interesting that they differentiate between the income tax and a payroll tax, because this is a conversation we've had on my show before. One is under subchapter A, and the other is under subchapter E, or F, I don't remember. They can shuffle it around. The fact of the matter is that whether it's Medicaid, Social Security, it's still a tax.
Right.
And so the left is now saying, hey, these people are paying taxes, and they're correct. They are paying taxes. But the focus and the conversation is on the income tax. The one thing that I did think was effective from my standpoint, reading some of the arguments, and thank God the news media hasn't latched a hold of it yet. One of the posters said, I thought the Republicans were the party of no taxes. And here they're complaining that 47% of the people don't pay any taxes. I would think they would be elated with the fact that 47% don't. And, that's
they
true.
They very well might be if the other part wasn't paying for all the other taxes on that.
Well, it shifts the focus away from the actual conversation, what the conversation should be, and that is a redistribution. That is collecting tax revenue not to fund the government, but simply to fund some other individual or business. See? And that is not a proper usage of the taxing power of the Congress under the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Although they'll argue the general welfare clause every time.
Sure.
So that's how come like those illegals that got all those big taxes checks from claiming earned income credit and no way of verifying if they had kids or not.
Right. Now, see, that's just outright theft. And if you or I tried that, our butts would be in federal prison.
Man. So, Ron, how would you interpret what Romney said when he said, I don't care about them?
What I took Romney's comment to mean, and what I believe it did mean, was exactly what the man said. If you insert the absolute perfect terminology, it would be that 46% of Americans pay no income tax, and a large majority of those people are on the left, and they're going to vote for Obama regardless. Okay, and I heard somebody who was it the other night said they could. It was on Mike Church's show the other morning. They said they could have video footage of Obama in the shower at Penn State with Jerry Sandusky. Okay, and these people would still vote for him.
Yep.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. No, I know. I ran into.
Oh
one
no.
Day.
Oh Lord.
It was not pleasant. You know, it's funny when you know we talk about the economic things and the taxes and the redistribution of wealth. There's a difference between what the government does to us and what a free market would do, where you have voluntary redistribution of wealth. Because when I go take my hard-earned money and I give it to the grocer, I'm redistributing some of my money.
Exactly. You vote with your wallet.
And this is a voluntary free association with a businessman or another individual. This is what the founders wanted for us. But, of course, as I've thought, this morning when I woke up, I thought if poor Thomas Jefferson were here, he would say, what date did the Republic fall? Because he would know that it's dead.
Oh, certainly. You know, and that see, this is the point now where I'm starting to have fun because we've gotten to the point on Patriot Families and many other places now where we can actually have
that conversation.
Right. And this is why I've been beating, you know, I used to say, I know I'm beating that dead horse, but I'm going to keep beating it until you guys get it, because what you said is exactly 100% correct. A true free market and true capitalism requires freedom of association, freedom to contract without government interference.
Exactly. And central planning.
Right, and when we take away that ability, even no matter how minimal it may seem, any intrusion into that ability by government or any outside entity disrupts the market and flow of commerce. This is why, you know,
Congress, the flow of freedom.
Congress was given the authority to regulate commerce, which means to make it regular. To ensure
that it is flowing,
free flow of commerce. Right. When we read the Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia, the use of the word "regulated" does not mean a well-controlled, held down and dictated to group of men. What it means is fully armed, the most capable, most well-equipped. When we regulate the air pressure in our tires, we're making sure that our tires have the optimum level of air in them. And that is the meaning, the context in which the word regulate appears in our Constitution.
Yes.
And we have forgotten that. And so it's taken well out of context, and we end up with a monetary system of central economic planning.
Yes, and that's exactly what Hayek was telling me in my – I'm going to read some of it tomorrow. It's just astounding. Yeah. And this was written in the 30s.
You know, I was thinking
about – nothing.
Right. Well, and here's the thing, okay? And here's the thing. And I've been going to the bank and getting 50-cent pieces and digging through them to to see if I've got any 1970 or older because they're 40% silver.
Cool.
But here's the thing. honestly, it doesn't matter. In a perfect system, it doesn't matter if you're using seashells or paper or straw or silver or gold for money. The medium of exchange is just a vehicle. It's a tool like a screwdriver or a hammer.
Yep.
Okay. Where the problem begins to develop is the fact that within the monetary system, within the economy, it's wholly and completely comprised of human beings. And unfortunately, as human beings, many of us don't grasp the whole concept of an economy, number one, or money, number two. And then there's that stupid human nature that gets involved,
mm-hmm.
and everybody thinks they have the best way to do it. When if we just left everyone to their own devices,
you got it.
We, the economy, would determine what is best suited for a circulating medium, okay, money. And you wouldn't need any regulations or anything on it. I mean, you honestly wouldn't, because my dad's a perfect example. They had an AT&T internet service, and he was always complaining that he could never get into Patriot families. And when he did, everything would cut out, and it's buffering and everything. Well, they've moved in with us. We have Comcast. So he ran a speed test on the old AT&T.
Hey, stick a couple of dicks in my ass.
I just dropped him.
Wow, that was really interesting.
Yeah, a troll.
So he runs a speed test on his AT&T, and it's like 3.9 megabytes per second. Then he goes over and runs one on Comcast, and it's 17.7.
Wow.
And so, I mean, you know, it's pretty obvious, and that must have been Obama calling in wanting your vote. I don't know.
He's on the down low. Maybe not today.
Even in the controlled market, he can still vote with his wallet by not paying for their service anymore because they suck. They're no good. They don't deliver what he needs. So,
did you happen to see the guy who passed away and he had $200 in the bank and $7 million in gold in his house?
No, I missed that one.
I did not, but that sounds like someone I know. I don't have $7 million. I wish I did, but, you know, whatever.
Well, yeah, it's pretty nuts. I mean, when you talk about the free market and when people are left to their own devices and you don't have these central planners and they just make me tired, it not only keeps the flow of the economy running, it also keeps the flow of freedom running.
Well,
you know, that lovely concept.
The idea of the free market and government staying out of economic decisions, because clearly they can't make any economic decisions that are going to be beneficial.
Well, they sure as hell don't have a good economic record.
No, it's an abject failure. I mean, I don't care what there's. As I said before, there's one segment in history, in our history,
mm-hmm.
Where we had no national debt, and that was immediately following Andrew Jackson's presidency. And if you go back to the argument of Alexander Hamilton at the very beginning, even before we had a government, and the first central bank that was mm-hmm. set up in Philadelphia. Even before we had a constitutional convention, you know, when we were still under the Articles of Confederation, the idea was that in order to have credit, you had to have debt. Now, if we step back for a moment and think about that, who were we hoping to get to borrow money from under a debt obligation? There were two empires in the world, the French and the English, and we were at war with the English, so there was really only one that we were looking to borrow some money from, that was France. And it just seems to me the ideology, the human ideology, that in order to be creditworthy, you have to show that you're in debt is absolutely asinine.
God, I know, it's backwards.
And that's the fundamental flaw, but that was the argument. And of course, England loaned us money, you know, after all the niceties were done. And then they got upset with us because we cut off their shipping and we had the War of 1812 that wasn't in 1812, mm-hmm. but that's a whole other story.
Well,
we just don't seem to learn our lessons. And see, there are those that want to be in control of money, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And by controlling money, they recognize that they can control the direction of society.
Yeah, and people's actions and reactions.
Right. And they can manipulate and get people to buy their products versus someone else's. So that's why Rothschild said, you know, give me control
of
the currency and I care not who makes its laws. And it's true.
It is true. And what they've done, and not only that, with the Agenda 21 crowd, I mean, they want to control every single aspect of your life. And
well,
if you control money, yeah. And food and everything else.
I'm gonna pose a couple of questions for you because now I think we can start looking at things a little more pragmatically. What part of your life do they not control now? Or are they not able to control right now?
Well, just my bodily functions, I guess.
and they can take that away, too, if they so desire.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
See,
that's
what's
so frightening.
Well, and this is the fear tactic. The one thing, see, that they know, that people know, and it's purely psychology. My stepfather he was a police officer for 28 years, and he used to say locks are for honest thieves.
Mm-hmm.
I understand exactly what he meant now. A locked door keeps an honest thief honest. If it was unlocked, he'd steal your stuff. But since it's locked, it's too much effort and trouble, and he might get caught. So
right.
We'll just go on to the next to an easier target. The powers that be, the government, they understand that the vast majority of people are fundamentally honest. That is, as long as there's not the fear of reprisal, they won't object and they'll toe the line. Even if they disagree with the law, they'll still toe the line, okay? It might be bitterly. They might form a Patriot Families website, and they might have radio shows to complain about it. They're, by God, going to pay their taxes on time every paycheck, and they're going to be good little boys and girls, and they're going to run down to the county every time they want to put a new outhouse on their property and get permission, and they're going to pay the permit fee, and they're going to do all those things because they don't want to be caught breaking the law.
Yeah, it's too inconvenient to stand up for what's right and to fight. And I think we're pushed, like you said the other day, against a wall. And it's going to get ugly if when the financial collapse hits. It's not about the grocery store shelves being empty. It's about you won't be able to afford what's on the shelves.
That's exactly right.
It will be no fun. Yeah, go ahead, Robert. What's up?
I want you guys sometime this week when you have time to go see the movie Lawless. It's a great movie.
Oh, okay.
And the reason why it's a great movie, it will teach you one thing. It will teach you how to defend yourself. And that's all I got to say about
it. I already know how to do that, my man.
I have the
ultimate self-defense weapon in my corner.
If you don't have it on you, you won't know how to kill somebody without it.
Oh, Robert, you didn't let me tell you what my ultimate self-defense weapon is, sir.
Oh, what's that, sir?
See, it doesn't require me to do anything, and that's Jesus Christ.
That's right.
That's it. I know.
See, I'm not in a hurry to run out and die, but I'm not afraid.
That's it. I know what the end of my journey is.
Yeah. They can't
I know
take
where
that
I'm headed.
Us.
I know where I'm headed, and I know that it's better than here. So I got no worries. I mean, I get upset. I get pissed off, and, you know, I'll slap the mat and call the cat a bastard every once in a while and get frustrated. But I don't go through life afraid of anything. And, you know, I had a guy in our shop today, and the store manager, he's got a Corvette sitting in the shop that he's trying to sell. And the guy looks at it and he says, "How much you want for that?" And he said, $6,400. And he's like, man, and he pulls out his cell phone, and I know he's checking his account. And I looked at him, and I said, it's only money. And he laughed, and he goes, yeah, that's easy to say. I said, it is, because it's the truth. I said, let me ask you something. You think you'll live to be 100? He said, no, ain't a chance. I said, you think you'll get to take any of that money with you? He said, nope. I said, there again, sir, it's only money.
Yep.
I recently told one of my single friends that he has stuff all through his house, collectible kind of stuff all through his house. He's like, he's wondered, should he leave it to his kid or what? And I'm like, if I was you, I would sell some of it, and I would take yourself on vacations and enjoy what time you got left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the thing. We get so caught up in stuff. George Carlin did a great skit on stuff. And, you know, the thing is, we spend all this time trying to acquire stuff, and it does nothing for you. I mean, there are functional things. I'm just as guilty as anyone else. You know, I got a nice little collection of firearms. It's something that I enjoy, but I can take them out and shoot them and trade them and you know, but I know I'm not taking them with me. And I don't cry over it, you know, if one of them breaks and, you know, it just doesn't matter. In the long run, it doesn't matter. My pops always used to tell me, he said, just ask yourself, in 100 years, will it matter?
Nope, it won't.
Now, you know, what is left to my kids and my grandkids as far as their future? Yeah, I think that's the same thing the founders were looking at. They wanted to leave a future for their posterity that they wouldn't be weighed down with all of these crazy things that we're dealing with today.
Right now. Exactly.
They wouldn't have an obtrusive government that was lording over them like a king or a dictator.
Mm-hmm.
And God forbid they would have to go to war and fight a war. You know, George Washington said, you know, I fight the war so that my son can be a farmer.
Sure. They all
that
did.
Was
a lot
dream.
Of them did that.
Right,
yeah,
that was his dream, you know.
Well, you know, Ron, you look at it that way. George Washington, though, there was a guy who actually fought in war. And we've had people who have no concept, who haven't served our country really in any way whatsoever, and all of a sudden they're the president of our country.
Sure. And you know, and at the same time, and Bill, I know you know this because you served in the military. I served in the military, and it's something that they instill in you, and that is that warrior mentality. And unfortunately...
But they also instill in you, Ron, self-control.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. But and you know as well as I do that can run amok pretty quickly, especially in a combat situation. But the thing is that we, in order to create those warriors, you know, we're actually instilling glorifying war.
Sure.
And there's nothing glorious about it. And that's unfortunate. And, you know, Washington was one of those rare individuals that come along once in a blue moon that was able to look at everything very pragmatically. He full well understood the horror of war.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could not fathom, and I can guarantee you that if George Washington were in the presidency during the time of Abraham Lincoln, we would never have a discussion of a civil war. It would have been out of the question.
Yep. Oh, sure. Because they had two obviously very different ideologies about what America was and what it was supposed to be.
Oh, very much so. And you're going to get that. But I'm thinking you're more geared towards your country than you are if you are a community organizer, leftist community organizer.
Yeah, I mean, there's
being
no doubt.
Brought up by radicals and this and that. I would rather have that person.
There's no doubt of that, but, you know, it was like I was trying to talk with my stepmother last night, and it's the ideology of nationalism, okay? And we identify with our family, and then we identify with our neighbors because we live in the same geographic location, you know, in mm-hmm. close proximity. And then we identify with people from Indiana because they're within the boundaries of our country. And so it's just an extension of family.
Right.
It's just extended out a little further. So when we're threatened, we see each other not as, you know, Bill from Indiana. We see each other's family. And,
sure.
And that side of nationalism is, I think, a very good thing. But the other side of it is, you know, it's very easy to manipulate people
mm-hmm.
Because of that bond of nationalism. And that's exactly what Hitler did.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
Precisely what he did because of pride of country, nationality, that, you know, he was able to, people look the other way. That and, you know, a lot of the people in Germany, they knew what was going on, but they denied it. And they did so for the same reasons that we do here in this country deny when our government is doing horrendous things overseas.
Overseas, yeah.
Because we can't admit to ourselves that would, you know, that would go against the rules. And there's that fear factor again. You know, we don't want to be seen as not going along. Go along to get along kind of thing.
Well, I'll tell you what they've turned me into. They've turned me into a radical serf. Because I'm fighting. I don't care. And I'm not going to stop speaking out. We did, the first part of the show was, I was reading the paper on the blind sheikh and what's going on with that. Because that's pretty horrendous. And we found out that that there's already negotiations going on with this administration and Morsi, and that he won't be released until after the election. Isn't that special?
Well, guys, I appreciate you letting me call in.
I know you got
my sister-in-law is here, and she really likes to chat with me. So even though she's voting for Romney, I told her I won't hold that against her. I still love her anyway.
Thanks for calling in. Be blessed.
You bet. Thanks
have
for letting
fun.
Me.
All right. Have a good one, Ron. Have a good
God
one.
Bless.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
God bless. Always good to have Ron on.
Oh, he's a riot. We got to, yeah. He's done a lot of research, you know, and I know you have, and I know Robert tries, and I've read till I'm blue in the face, believe me, big time. And I'm not done. I mean, I still have 3 or 4 books that I don't even have to order. They're sitting here waiting for me. So, and this is why I know. This is why I get so frustrated, because of the willful ignorance of the others. And that's why I've got to take a step back and say, okay, they don't know everything. They don't know what's going on. You got to spoon feed them. Oh, but it's difficult.
It is. Because there's so much that has happened. There's so much that is happening. Trying to bring someone up to date.
Oh my gosh!
Is a week long, 2 week long deal.
Oh yeah, not
I know. I'm still working on people.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And it's amazing though, because I can almost every time when I ask them one of my questions, uh-huh. I will get an answer back, and it'll be a liberal talking point off of TV.
Sure.
It just makes me want to just explode. It's like...
What you got to do then is you got to take a deep breath and go, which pundit told you that? Which idiot box station did you get that from? It's tough. What's hard is we're not prepared to come back at them quick enough with really, you know, decent second questions, because we're flabbergasted, and that's where we gotta kind of learn how to not be in shock when they spout off this garbage. And it's real hard because these people, I'm telling you, they believe it, Bill. They don't know that they've been lied. They don't know
they're
being lied.
They look at me like a child deer in headlights with their eyes and stuff, thinking, oh, they're telling, this is the truth, the whole truth. You know, it has to be. I've seen it on CBS or I've seen it on MSNBC or whatever.
And furthermore,
then when you start laying it out to them, the real truth, and you start taking them down the right path and defining all the truths and stuff,
I know.
You'd be amazed at how they get then. Then they're all tore up. It's like, oh, my God. Then they're mad. Then they're mad.
Well, you know what? They should be, because they what they don't realize when you first start telling them these things is that we have collectively been lied to for 130 years. And now that you've gotten turned on to the truth, you're trying to help them. And if that's if you can get to that place, man, you're you're like steps ahead of the game, let me tell you. I'm working on people. I'm working on
It's not an easy thing. And I do it by I print out little flyers and put them everywhere.
Good.
I'm still catching flack over me putting out the county comprehensive plan everywhere.
Good.
But the flack I'm catching is from elected, and the support I'm getting is from the people who do the electing.
There you go. And that's what you need, because you know what? And that's why you're getting flack, because they're going to be running scared, knowing that the truth is going to set us free and going to get them out of office, because they've been, you know, treating us poorly. Right?
They're selling us out behind our backs, thinking that we're too stupid to know it or to look it up or to figure it out.
And every time we do these things, they get more, you know, like little scared cockroaches, and they start running around in circles like somebody just took a Raid can to them, because they don't see this coming. But you know what? We've still got more tricks up our sleeves, Bill, and we're going to bring them out in force, I believe. You know, we're not giving up. I'm just building a bigger steamroller, you know. Yeah, you got to.
That's what you have to do.
And I think that's why the left gets scared, and that's why they get ugly, and that's why they get so vitriolic, because they have nowhere to hide.
I've had a few people who have locally espoused that, oh, they was going to do this or that to me, and then when they saw me, it was a whole different story. I don't know. Do I sound like a little guy? And I'm never
funny.
And I never go anywhere alone, to be honest. There's always somebody with us when we go anywhere.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah. And I don't come there to get physical confrontation. I want to sit down with you. I want to talk with you.
Absolutely.
And I want to show you through truth what is really going on. I'm not trying to be intimidating. I suppose I could be. I don't know. My wife says yes.
well, you know,
I'm really, that's not what I'm about now.
Right.
That's the other side. That's
right.
The other side that wants to use intimidation and those kinds of tactics. I just want to use truth.
Exactly. Now, the only thing I will say is that you could be intimidating just because of your stature, but that's okay, because then you make a formidable foe if someone's trying to be mean to you. So that's a good thing. And we know your heart, Bill, so we're good.
Hey, Bill, I still think we should do a commercial.
Like what, Robert?
Of our beliefs. We need to do a commercial, like these paid commercials that, you know, I see all these political ads that are not even affiliated with the Republican or Democratic Party, and we all share the same beliefs, Bill. I mean,
Robert, and I suggested this once before, is we get everybody to do a little, hold your camera, your phone out in front of you, your camera, take a little clip of you saying a little bit. Your name and this and that. I'm from California, and I'm against, you know, whatever. And then we bring all these together and put them into a YouTube video.
That would be great.
Okay.
And then I'm working on one for my family, where I want to get my entire family together. Everybody take a hit off of helium, and one person laugh because I know it would be contagious. And I know if anybody saw it, it would be contagious.
That's cute. I think that's a good idea.
What do we have to lose? We don't have anything to lose.
Yeah,
maybe our lives.
If I have Skype, how do you make a YouTube thing?
I have no idea. Ron knows.
Okay. He did one. I think I can use Skype. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'll find out. I'll figure it out.
Said Ron made a YouTube video.
Yeah, he did.
Who did?
Ron.
Ron made one?
Yes.
Yeah, let's do it. I think we should do it. I think we should just, like, get our message out.
And get it on Facebook.
We're on a short period here. We need to be doing something.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and I don't know about you all. I will be on my house on November the 6th, but on November the 7th, I may be sitting out somewhere else waiting to see what happens.
Exactly. I know. I know. I know you, Bill. I know where you live.
And I got three men here with me nodding their heads.
Oh, man.
The good old boys. The good old boys are going to hold the fort down, huh?
Yeah, it's good to have neighbors and friends like this because, it makes it hard for anyone to really come after me because if you come
right
up here, you're not leaving.
Not in one piece. If you're mean and you harm, yeah, absolutely. No, like I said earlier in the chat room, I'm staying here because I was assuaging my mom's fears because she says, if you need to leave, you can. I says, I'm not going nowhere. She doesn't quite get the scope of what's about to hit. You know, I don't want to scare her, so I'm just staying here. But
that's what we do. We take care of our family.
Right.
And that's what you're doing. That's to be commended. When I was a child growing up, you looked at elder people with respect and you treated
mm-hmm.
them with such.
Yep.
You don't have that today.
No.
Not much. Yeah, we do in my family pretty much, but
we do in ours because I demand it. You know. You treat each other with, you know, we don't hit, we treat each other with respect. And we have a closeness.
That's amazing.
Through many generations, I spread out through the cousins and everything and through our neighbors and stuff. We have a closeness. And I think the country needs to find that closeness. And I don't know that you can in a city where you have so many people just trampling back and forth all the time. It's because we have a time to stop and say, hey, to the neighbor and this and
right.
that. And we are out where we're at. And you got to look out for your neighbor because you want your neighbor to look out for you.
You bet. So what I do is whoever I see outside, you know, my group here in the neighborhood, I always try to include them and be neighborly to them and whatever and talk about the weather or whatever's going on or, you know, and then I'm a lot of the people who live in this park because we were all such camaraderie to try to defeat the city council with their Prop E, and which we did quite successfully. I've got to know almost everybody in this park, which is wonderful. And so I've got a little community and I have spoken to several people. You know, I'm going, okay, if something bad happens, you know, you guys got to have my back here. And so at least I have a couple of the men, you know, that have their own capabilities of weaponry too. And I says, you know, and so everybody's aware of how I feel. I'm not coming on as like the giant Alex Jones conspiracy nut, but they know how I feel. And they, you know, a lot of them kind of understand, but none of them get the scope. They can't even, I can't even fathom how bad it's going to be. So I can't imagine that, you know, they could. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I don't know that I can.
I know.
You know, I've seen some bad situations, and my government has sent me into some bad situations. And I don't know that I've ever even begin to see anything along the kind of scope that's going to happen inside our country and to the people. And you know, as sure as hell, when it starts happening, they're going to be right there going, well, why didn't you tell us?
Because they never will tell us.
I've told so many people, you know, and nobody can say I didn't warn you this time. No, they can't. They just can't because I'm screaming from the rooftops. So, I mean, I get stuff in print. I go on the air. I talk to people. You know, I try to warn them. If they don't want to hear the warnings, I can't force it down their throats.
No,
so,
no, you can't. Then you go home and you put them on a list and you pray for them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, oh, yeah. Everybody's still in my list, you know. I'm not writing people off. Of course, I'm not. I should be doing the prayers for the evil ones because we want them to have their hearts changed. That's a tough one for me, but I do it every once in a while.
But then again, we know that it's, you know, there's going to be a certain amount of evil that's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Before goodness can take over.
Oh, I know.
I don't believe the government has a heart.
Yeah, some of them don't.
I really don't.
Okay.
Greed is overran them.
Oh, man. Well, they're so self-indulgent and so Illuminati-ish and so New World Order brainwashed, and they got this utopian nonsense, and you know, and the banksters and the greed. I mean, the Bernankes and the Geithners and the rest of them. My God, I mean, how else do you describe that? That's pretty heinous stuff, you know. So I liken them to the freaks in history, you know, but. The only difference is some of them don't have guns in their hands. Of course, they'll hire that to be done, you know, by the other useful idiots like the DHS and that Janet Incompetano. Oy. So all we can do is pray, guys, and do what we're doing and tell everybody. I've got about 4 minutes and 45 seconds, and I want to thank Bill and Robert for coming in today. And I know Bill had a lot on his mind and heart. And, you know, and I pray for everybody on Patriot Families every day. So, because I know everybody's going through some stuff. So I know Bill's dad. I know there's all these people out there that need our help and our prayers. So
Keep Yo in our prayers. Keep her healthy.
Yep, absolutely. She's been in the chat room, so she's doing okay. I just got to keep praying for her. And then tomorrow is my show, which is Right from the Left Coast, 7 p.m. Eastern, and we will talk about the QE3 and everything else we feel like talking about. We have Miss Terry Rowland will be back Thursday because she was busy with her family last week, and Michael Magic filled in for her. And she's going to do Patriot Education. And if you have not listened to Miss Terry Rowland, boy, you're missing out, because she's one well-educated lady, and she loves her kids and her students. So we will do that, and then we have Friday. I'm not sure if anyone's on, but we also at 6 o'clock my time, 9 o'clock.
Mike,
you guys
on Fridays at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, Mike, Hot Seat Mike, 9 p.m. Eastern. He's over at Hot Seat on BTR. I just type in Hot Seat. The left is never right, and I find him somehow. So then we've got that. And then Saturday, of course, we have Mr. Michael Magic. He is on Exposing the Illusion, Blog Talk Radio, Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern, and that's always fun. We have Sunday Fed Up Frank show. Ron hosts that when he can at 7 p.m. Eastern. We have Ron Golden doing Constitution Hour at 7 or 7:30 p.m., depending on his day, Eastern time on Mondays for Constitution Hour. And then Tuesday back with Linda and Bill, unless Hollis comes to join us, because I know he's busy. On Tuesday for Patriot Family Chat. And you guys, thank you. Keep strong. Keep praying. Load up on everything you can. I don't care if it's only 2 pieces of silver. Go get some. So,
well, for me and the guys here in Freetown, Indiana, tell them good night, guys.
All right.
Good night. Keep
God bless everybody. I'll just play a little music, you guys. It's been fabulous. Thank you so much, and God bless. Let's see if I can get this back.